The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, PapaNuka.com in Vancouver, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjure Man Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bringing us today's topic of reversing ancestral curses. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rework, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali. Miss Kat.
Hi, Papa Newt. So nice to hear your suave and yet cheerful voice. I'm going to say something, Papa Newt. You always remind me of one of those fabulous game show announcers from the 1950s, the one who introduces the host. And then later comes back for the ads for Pepsodent or possibly Chesterfield cigarettes. I don't know the name of those guys, but Papa Newt, you should have been one of them.
They're announcers, too, I think.
Yeah, you make a lovely 1950s announcer. Okay. And I just got to tell the world today, not knowing that Papa Newt would be in for Tammy Lee, Miss Tammy Lee, our normal regular announcer, I didn't know he was going to be on air. And we today spent the morning making Papa Newt's big order of sachet powders. And I'm telling you, folks, it's a big order. And if you all buy your Lucky Mojo supplies from PapaNewt.com, they're winging their way to him. They'll go out on Monday. Today is Sunday. The shop is open, but the post office is closed. But Papa Newt, look for them very soon, and you will have a large supply. And I know Papa Newt sells Lucky Mojo products on eBay. Isn't that right, hon?
I do. My own store page kind of was going, was having issues, some errors that I haven't figured out yet. So I was like, you know what? eBay, I still can make them available, and they go quickly. I mean, once the order comes in, I get them out the same very day.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That is fantastic.
Right. So we love having you as a reseller, Papa Newt. It's really nice of you to carry our stuff into the eBay world, and that means that you can get things with no delay, because he's sitting there with a little box ready to put it in. And we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off, making things. But he's a better shipper in some ways than we are. I'm just saying. I love you, Papa Newt, and I love you for what you do. All right. Well, the other news here is that we actually are getting pretty caught up. I know I've been complaining and whining and asking for patience and apologizing profusely and going through every gyration that one could go through trying to explain what went wrong. But we are pretty well caught up right now.
Yeah.
And I think the oldest thing on the shipping table is now, today is 9/20. And the oldest thing on the shipping table is from 9/13. Okay, so the oldest thing not yet shipped is 7 days old. So we're really catching up, and there are only a few of those, hon. There's just only maybe four or five of them from 9/13. Those are things that were big orders that needed something made. So we are closing in on it. And I'm expecting that, you know, maybe next month I'll announce we are caught up. And mm-hmm. And I want to give a special thanks to everybody in the shop who has worked so hard at this. Coral has, Brian has been making oils, Margie and Evan have been working on spell kits, and Jenna has been bagging and making product. Heidi has been, Yose has been, and Yose's been doubling in shipping, Eileen in shipping. Leslie Ann, who's been all over the map, she makes things, she pulls orders, she does invoices. She's our most kind of free of the floor, works any station where we need her. Nikki has been doing invoices and refunds on things we're out of, and which is mostly things made by other vendors. And Leslie Lowell, our other Leslie, handling all the incoming and also the supplies that need to be purchased. And I'm sure I've left somebody out, but I don't know who it is. Anyway, everybody's been working very, very hard. And and Michael Bautista has been coming in one day a week and working with us, too. And Angela is on vacation, but she was working hard up to the day she went on vacation. That's who I left out. But she'll be back. She's taking her summer vacation. So everybody who's working at the shop, I want to give a big shout-out. It's been hard work. But we've got a system, and we got it all caught up. And we really, I mean, we're 2 weeks away from being on our usual, normal 72-hour turnaround. And that's what we've been, for the last, 25 years, it's always been 72-hour turnaround with a couple of exceptions. We've had a couple of years where things just went down the tubes for one reason or another. And then we have to dig our way out again. And this is one of them. And it, by the way, it doesn't have to do with getting more popular or getting more orders. Usually has to do with losing a long-term, well-trained employee for one reason or another. They move, they quit, they go somewhere else, get a different job. And while people are being trained, you can't just throw a person into a shop like Lucky Mojo and say, come on,
no,
I need
deep
things.
End.
There's no deep end here. There's no factory. We can't just say, go on the mm-hmm. line here and put the capping machine on. No, it's all handmade. And that means they need to study. They need to take my course. And that's a one-year course, and the people who work in the shop are employed to go pretty quick through that course. Then there's 3 apprenticeship weeks, and they've got to take all 3 before they can make all the types of products. And so when you get a Lucky Mojo product made for you, it's by someone who was trained for at least 1 week intensive on that product and then received help from other long-term people. So it's a big, big thing. And
for someone like
now,
me, though, I just want
go
to jump
ahead.
In real quick, that because you were mentioning handmade, and I want to say for someone like myself, it's worth the wait, right? With handmade mm-hmm. products, it's the difference between factory-made or conveyor belt style, right? You get something faster that way, but it's not the quality you're looking for. So for me, I'm like, I'm okay with the wait. I get something high-end
mm-hmm.
quality.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't want to make it. Oh, and I have to say thank you. Nagashiva posted in who I knew I'd left someone out. Dave! I'd left out Dave. And Eileen, well, I mentioned Yose because she's packing today, but Eileen packs Monday through Friday. And, of course, Dave Scar is right now our biggest sachet powder maker. But he's, kicking stuff down for other sachet powder makers, too. But he's also self-motivating, self-running Dave. And he also runs the trains.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. And Ernie, of course, comes in and works on Facebook Fridays, although he mostly works in the church. But we got quite a team, a lot of people working to get you your products. All right. Well, just thanks for bearing with me while I talked about that. Let's say hi, Contraband Ollie. How are things with you?
I am doing lovely. Thanks for asking. Been keeping busy on my end. I've been doing, interestingly enough, quite a bit of root work as usual, but I've had a little uptake in the work that I do for my Middle Eastern clients. So work on removing the gin. I'm sending out certain gin products for gin bowls and whatnot to clients for protection work, as well as doing geomancy work. So it's a nice little uptake of Middle Eastern, North African magic alongside the root work that I do. And I just noted that, and I was like, September, mid end of September, all of a sudden I've had this rash of clients that are asking for work about the djinn and asking for geomancy work. So it's been interesting. It's been fun. It's been quite intense. Working with the djinn always is intense. It's never something that I do simply or lightly, but it is work that I enjoy thoroughly. So September, it's turning out to be an interesting month for me.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm just going to quickly, before I bring in our guest, just answer a question that came up. Madam Samantha in the chat room asks, do we spell or pray over our products? And the answer to that is yes. We pray over every product we make, every little powder, every little incense packet. As we make those packets, we keep in mind what we're working on, and then we pray over them and all the oils. And people ask me often, how can you pray over something that's like for destruction? And I just, you know, draw on my own need for destruction every once in a while and my own anger, and I just say, Lord, a client comes here or a customer comes here, we'll purchase this product to destroy someone or something that they must destroy. And Lord, if it's your will, grant them their prayer. And so I basically introduce the subject into the product that way, if it's not a product that I would always be using myself. But it's for love, I'll pray over it. Let them find love as I have found love, for I'm very happy in my life, and I want everyone to find the same kind of love that I find. So you can pray for different things in different ways. So I hope that answers your question, Madam Samantha. And I would also say, for money, I would say the same thing. As I've been allowed to have my own little business and have my own company and have a little bit of cash in the bank and own my own home, please let all those who use these products have the same success, happiness, and freedom from worry in money matters that I've been granted. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So that's how I pray. I try to tag it to something I know or something I do. And if it's something like kill, 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 I have a few people in my life. Which brings us to our guest.
What a segue.
So our guest today is Susan Barnes, one of the gentlest, sweetest people you'll ever meet through AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Workers. But her topic is reversing ancestral curses. And this is going to be on the subject of sending curses back to ancestors who need curses sent back to them. Okay? So, but let me say hi first before we get to the topic. Hi, Susan. How are you doing
today?
Hi.
I'm doing fine. I do want to say about your money products and your wealth drawing products. I've made quite a bit of money off of all of your products and using them, which has enabled me to do really well in this business by getting more clients and doing a lot of pro bono work. And so I wanted to thank you because I don't know what you do with your money products, but they work. I guarantee it.
Well, thanks very much. Like I said, I just ask that others be as successful as I've been.
Well, they're very successful. I wanted to start off by a quote by Dr. Eddie Gutierrez because I had a lot of I've been having a lot of clients with multiple issues. They've run the gamut from love to money to arguing with people to becoming people that they're really not. One woman called and she said that she's drinking all of a sudden. She doesn't know why she started drinking. And I thought, you know, I'm doing all of this curse removal work and these people are coming back with different issues, but they're still not good issues. So then I studied Dr. Gutierrez, and he says one of the things that people often forget is that part of doing root work is the risk, and the risk is part of the energy you're putting into the work. Now, that's by Dr. E, and it made me think, okay, I'm doing candles, I'm doing all this other stuff, what else do I need to do? Bingo, ancestor work. And when I started working on this one woman, I asked her questions. Well, did anyone else in your family drink? Well, yeah, her biological father drank. Did anybody else drink? Yes, a great-grandfather was a fall-down drunk. And it went on and on and on. And I started realizing, this is an ancestral curse. So I went about breaking that curse. She stopped drinking and turned into a nice, lovely person that she had been before. Another woman came to me who said, I've been having these bizarre dreams. They're sexual in nature, and they're creepy, and I can't find any work. And I thought, well, that's weird because she has a PhD. I couldn't figure it out. Come to find out, she has a brother in jail for rape. She had an uncle in jail, same thing, for rape. It's an ancestor. I started thinking, this is an ancestral situation. What do I want to do? Do I want to send these people off to heaven and forgive them? I thought, no, I don't think so. Because these people are still mm-hmm. angry, and they're hanging on to that part of that ancestor. The ancestor won't let them go. Mm-hmm. So the more I worked on getting rid of the ancestor, and I do that with dowsing, mm-hmm. and the more I did that, these people come back, and they're different, completely different people. Now, I know Conjure Man Ali works with a lot of this type of situation. So I've also studied Conjure Man Ali, and I studied his tarot cards that he talked mm-hmm. about, the top tarot cards that will tell that there's a curse around. Mm-hmm. And so when I would do the cards along with the dowsing, bingo. You know, these people are not just cursed. It's not evil eye or someone thinking badly of them, which also those are minor curses. But mm-hmm. I'm looking into what Dr. E said, is you get to the dirt of the matter, you go to the graveyard. You know, I've built a coffin for a lady and put a little poppet of the ancestor that had been a horrible person and a mirror on top of that coffin so that the ancestor will see the mirror. I went out
wow.
and found the graveyard, you know, where her tribe was buried. Buried that thing, peed on it, because this is a horrible person, said all the psalms you can say about that, left. And within a week, the woman was a completely different person. She lost weight. She got a job. She's doing YouTube videos. So to me, that I was thinking that's the answer. It's not sending them to the light and love and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which, of course, you can. But these are the type of spirits that we don't want hanging around us and causing, you know, people we love to have problems in their lives.
Right, right. Well, this is a really important thing. Now, I just typed this, and I'm not sure if I'm right. Where is Ali's list printed of how to tell if a curse? Is it in the book Deliverance by Kai Armand, or is it another book?
I saw it online, and it just
fascinated
me.
Psychic list.
Yes.
It's at, yes. Oh, it says Hoodoo Psychic, so it's not in any of the books. Okay.
It should be, because it really drove home. When I did the readings of these people, I kept getting the same cards. I thought, where have I seen this? Mm-hmm. So I looked it up, and it's the list, and I carry his list with me in my purse.
Good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So,
okay.
I have a part
so
of Conjure Man Ali with me.
online. Well, you know, that's a good thing that you mentioned it. If it's not in one of the books, we should get Ali's permission to put it in a book, because mm-hmm. It is the kind of thing that people want to carry around with them. And it's a good diagnostic tool, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. 7 tarot cards that reveal curses are afoot. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I'm going to jump in here, too, in just a little bit, and I'm going to let Ali have his say. But what you said, and it is not to say that people who wish to forgive an erring ancestor are wrong or weak. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that ancestral elevation in the spiritualist and Kardecian sense is wrong or weak.
Mm-hmm.
It's to say that in certain circumstances, that may not be what you can or should be doing. And cleansing yourself of an ancestral curse may be temporary. It may repeat on you because mm-hmm. it just comes back on you. And in some cases, elevating the ancestor which is described in the book Deliverance, is exactly the right thing to do. But in other cases, sending them to a burning lake of fire forever, mm-hmm. Or reversing all the evil that they did is the thing to do. And the two things you mentioned, putting a mirror on top of a little, on top of their grave, face down, mm-hmm. literally to keep them down under the ground, is a very old way. You will have to dig, you have to have access to that graveyard. You would dig the sod up, if there is sod, if it's dirt, you're going to dig a little thing, and you're going to literally put a mirror face down, and like, so that they are in their coffin, and they're just stuck down there, okay? Number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, the other one that you mentioned, to reverse them, but, well, actually, I'm going to give you a couple other possibilities. There's a couple of other ways to reverse a curse onto an ancestor. Another way that I have used is to take the ancestor's picture and put it between two mirrors and bury it because I don't have access to their grave. Right? Mm-hmm. It's another way to do it. And there are many ways of sending things back to an ancestor who was either a jealous person, an addictive person, abusive person. You can write a letter and just say, I'm sending all of this back to you. Put it between two mirrors and put it in the ground. So that's one way. But put it, if you can find their grave, so much the better. Now, what do you have to add to this, Ollie? Does this ring a bell with you?
Oh, certainly it does. First, what I want to do is define kind of ancestral curse, right? There are two types in my mind. There are ancestral curses in which the ancestor is cursed by another. Either they've wronged someone in the past or they've done something and that person curses them. This is particularly common amongst those who have ancestors that fought wars or who were involved in some type of atrocity or some situation in that sense. Victims will curse the ancestor and then that curse passes down. On some cases, they're cursed unjustly, and sometimes it's just. It's up to you to determine what it is and what you're going to do about it. The second is when they are a curse to you, and that's what we're talking about in this particular instance, is when they are the type of unworthy or malevolent sort of ancestor that becomes a curse in your own life. And then it comes down to you removing that. Not all our ancestors are good. Not all our ancestors are meant to be cultivated. And this is very important to understand, that even if you don't repudiate the accursed ancestors, you should certainly be conscious of which ancestors you bring into your life and which ancestors you don't bring into your life. And that's very important. You know, bringing grandma, who is loving and sweet to everyone in your life, is a great thing. But bringing in your great-great uncle who happened to have been a barbaric mass murderer, not so much, right? So that's the first thing. Now, the way I was taught this particular type of work, and we didn't call it reversing curses, we call it rebuffing the accursed, right? Or repudiating the accursed, is that there's two different ways of dealing with the dead. The dead that you wish to forgive or put at rest are buried. Water. So you put water on their tombstones, you do a mock funeral, etc. And I've talked about that on the show several times, telling people how to put spirits to rest. It's called ghost laying in Virginia. But then, in cases like we're talking about on this show, where you need to reject the spirit, I was told you need to burn them. And I don't mean to sound offensive to anyone, but when I was taught this, Mama Jay said, we bury the Christian and we burn the pagan, right? And that's no offense to pagans or neo-pagans who ascribe to that. This was just the way she talked to the Southern Baptist. And so she said that you burn them on a pyre. And what you do is you create an effigy or a doll baby of the ancestor. You make a pyre for them. You light the pyre. Then you read Psalm 10 and then Psalm 29, specifically because Psalm 29 has a beautiful verse, Psalm 29, verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. And so you recite both Psalm 10 and Psalm 29 to drive that spirit out, burn them out of your life, and reverse all the darkness back onto them.
That's really amazing, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to the other thing. You mentioned putting water on the grave to lay the ghost, and Susan mentioned peeing on the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say something about that, because she said it, and a lot of people think of it as a turn of speech, a phrase, oh, I'm going to piss on your grave. But actually, it is a classic, famous spell. And when people say that, I had a friend who was an alcoholic. His he was sexually abused by his grandfather. He had an aunt who was actually close to him in age. In other words, she was almost like the age of this. She would be his cousin, but she was his aunt. And she was sexually abused by the grandfather, too. And when the grandfather died, they went to the graveyard after the funeral, after everyone had gone home, and they went there and they deliberately drank beer and peed all over the grave repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
And he told me that...
It's often done when you outlive someone you hate, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Someone who you outlived, and you're not saying, you're dead, I forgive you, you're saying, you're dead, good riddance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But he told this story as if it were, oh, ha ha, that's something funny that me and my aunt did. But actually, what he was telling me was a very old, what I consider sort of Celtic spell. You find it among the Norman French, you find it among the Irish. It's kind of pretty much all over England. It's just a Celtic spell. I'm going to pee on your grave. You'll find it everywhere. And it's not, you know, in a family, when people talk about something like this, they shrug it off and they kind of joke, ah, ha, 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 you know, we got drunk and peed on his grave. No, they needed to actually do that to lay him down so that that evil spirit of the man who raped them both when they were children would be held down forever. Okay. So, anyway, that is a very old spell, not just a little joke.
But, and you're also right, and I think one of the things it highlights, and it's very important to bring up, is that when you do this type of working, right, first of all, it's quite harsh. This isn't done for the ancestor you simply disagreed with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the ancestor that you're not fond of, you know, they were kind of a jerk in life, and so you curse them in this way, or you drive them up. This is often done for the most repugnant of our ancestors, the pugnacious, if you will, the ones that are that were murderers, that were rapists, right? The ones that are a curse onto your bloodline. And so it is very important that you don't do this work lightly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that if you had bad relations, for example, with your mother, simply because you didn't get along, that forgiveness and healing in death is more favorable in the eyes of the Lord and in for yourself than cursing her. But if someone's a rapist, a murderer, or a curse onto your bloodline, that's when you consider this type of working. So this is very important that as we're giving out this information, you know, I don't want to see a rash of people pissing on people's graves just because they didn't get along with them in life. That's not really the way you want to go about this. This is very much, you want to be justified when you do this because you're asking, you're really damning someone to quite a harsh reality. You're sending a curse into the world of spirit. That really can reverberate for all of time.
Yeah. Miss Michael, in her humorous way, wrote in the chat room, I'm planning a supervillain graveyard tour. And then she added, I did not mean it as a joke, turning it over in my mind. And Miss Michael, I know it. You tend to make everything fun and happy, but that indicates a certain level of pain that no one should have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
A supervillain graveyard tour. I hear it. I know what you're talking about. And that needs to be considered very seriously as something to do. It's the inverse or opposite of leaving offerings on the grave.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Right. It is a serious, serious thing. Now, Ms. Michael says, a lot of our country's current ills and dangers are due to poisonous thinking of historical figures. Well, yes, but if you peed on the grave of XYZ and you were not related to them, it's not as deep as if it was your own ancestor.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what this is about the connection between you and your ancestor and your repudiation. I think that was a very good word that Ollie used, was repudiation. and basically telling them that you are protected against them. Remember, urine is also used in witch bottles in those Celtic lands to protect against witches. And I mean witches, again, I have to always note this, I mean witches in the sense of evil sorcerers, not in the sense of pagans or heathens or, you know, white light Wiccans. I mean witches as the term used to be used. And so a witch bottle would have urine in it to protect you. It's a way of marking your territory. And so what you're doing by peeing on someone's grave basically is marking the earth as your territory and condemning them to stay below.
I think you bring up a good point, too, is to make sure that you have protection and you're working with your spirit guides and your spirit guides who are protecting you against any other spirits that might be adverse to what you're doing. And rather than saying, oh, I read this in a book, I listened to this on a radio show, I'm going to go out and do this. But I think it's really important to study these people, you know, study Conjure Man Ali, study Dr. E, study Catherine Ironwood, and get your ducks in a row, then get your spiritual ducks in a row, and become protected physically as well as spiritually, and have knowledge about what you're doing before you go out and do something like this. Because you don't want to bring something back to you. You don't want to bring something back home.
Right.
You know.
That's important, too. If you're going to be doing any cursing work, or any repudiation, or any reversal, any kind of work that involves getting up ahead of negative energy, or working with plant allies that are known for their negative energy, or minerals, anything like that that has zoological curios, anything that is known for its negativity, you should spiritually cleanse yourself afterwards. And how you do that is up to you. One way would be to take a cue from the way we work in a bath, where you're going to take an uncrossing bath, and many people will light two little white candles at the head and foot of the bath with the two doors of the shower and walk out between them clean. You could light two tea lights at the gates of the cemetery and walk out between those, and then I would snuff them afterwards and leave. You could also cross back over water, because crossing back over water is a way to leave spirits behind you. Usually it's recommended you stop and say the Lord's Prayer or some prayer at the midway point of the water where you cross it. Another way to leave spirits behind is to go back home by a way you did not arrive, so as to confuse the spirits and get them tangled up in the giant Google map that is life. And of course, there are other things that are done when you're home. If you have cursed in error, you would wish to be forgiven. So you might take a hyssop bath or anything like that. Madam Samantha asks, how about smudging yourself with white sage? Well, that's from a fairly modern tradition that kind of picks up on theoretical Native American stuff, but there weren't that many Native Americans who actually used white sage. White sage is a kind of a complicated issue. It has to do with, is it sage? Is it artemisia? We could go into that in another day. I'm going to do a whole show on what is white sage and how did smudging with white sage become common. But among the Cherokee Indians, pine needles or pine bark would be used to get rid of spirits. In the northern tribes, they would have used sweetgrass braid to cleanse and purify after a death. Hyssop is used among biblical people, and so forth and so on. Espond is used in the Middle East. There are many, many such herbs.
You can go to the grocery store and get pine sol even.
Yes, pine sol, exactly. Yeah. Chinese
and
wash.
For me, sage, to be honest with you, in root work, the experience I've had, I can't speak to the Native American tradition, but it has certainly come from there. In root work, sage is much more of a, I know a lot of people use it as a cleanser, but I find it as much more a strengthener. It strengthens and by definition, or by symptom, drives away which may be negative or harmful in the house. But it's much more of a bolster, just like it's used for wisdom. It kind of bolsters up the spirit and makes you stronger and the house stronger and the positive spirit stronger, which drives everything else out.
Yeah.
Now, going back to what...
Hold on. I just got to jump in.
Go ahead.
It's not called sage for nothing.
Exactly.
Right. It has
a very different effect than, say, pine needles does. which pine needles is a cleaning, it's a cutting kind of sensation occurs.
Right.
So very, and you can sense it. People who have connections with herbs, you can, the way you smell it, you can see that they're very different smells, and that gets really to the heart of the spirit what you're working with. Now, going back to what Susan said, I think she's absolutely right. One of the keys to this working is that once you do it, and this is what we talk about, protection and being able to cleanse yourself, but there's also a mindset that comes into this. Once you do this work, when you extricate an ancestor, you need to be able to walk away from it fully and completely, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not one of those cases where you light candles for the next 10 years of your life, right? This isn't one of those cases where you just keep on doing the work. You do it, and then you have to accept that ancestor. They're buried, they're gone, they're burnt up, they're made into ash, they're sent down the river, that whatever it is you've done, it's done, right? You don't even want to think about them anymore. You don't want to worry about them anymore. You don't want to give them the time of the day because they no longer have power or sway over your life. That you're not going to give them a back door back in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important that once you do this, and this is why in Hoodoo, what do they say when you do kind of graveyard work? Take another route home. Make sure you cross water. All these things, they're not just superstitions. They're very powerful spiritual moves that say, I'm done. It's no longer, I'm not going back to that way, and nothing is following me home. And then it's very clear, another thing that people have often done that is also very powerful is leave salt by the door. So when they're done with this work, they come home and they sprinkle salt over their shoulders as they walk in, saying, that's it. You're not coming in. It's done, no more. And that is a very important part of this work. That when we say, turn around, walk away, and don't look back, it's a magical act. It's done with intention. And it is deeply, deeply tied to the attitude you carry with you in the days after you do the work.
That is so true. Because one of the things Susan said at the very outset was these people were changed. When it's done right, the person is
changed.
She's
absolutely right. Yeah.
And that is the mark of successfully done repudiation or reversal of ancestor that is not of use to you in your life or who's harming you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I've been told I was told the bumper music was on, but it wasn't, honey. All right. We've come to the end of this segment, and it's time to go to Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Susan Barnes, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divinations, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 907 and from Alaska. This is Mel. Mel, are you there?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
Good, thank you for asking.
Thank you for joining us. Now, I do see here that you have had previous readings, like with our own Aura LaForce of AIR, but you're calling in on a separate situation. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And you have had no other previous history with Ms. Kat or Conjure Man Ali, I see. And she writes, I went to a private school that was a diploma mill. Received a superb education, and I owe them close to $90,000. I've been out of work for 6 years, and they will garnish wages from any job I get. I'm looking for free technical training to obtain usable credentials and possibly join the military to help with my debt. My question is, will I overcome my debt hurdle and find success in the trade or military career? Is the path meant for me? Turning it back over to you, Ms. Kat.
Wow. All right. Well, this is a complicated thing. And I understand. I know those diploma mills. You're not the first one I've heard. This show is going to be listened to for years to come. Hopefully, when they listen to it in 10 years from now, they won't know what a diploma mill is. But right now, just for the record, it's a place that basically takes your money, gives you what you call the subpar education, which is exactly what it is, does not actually have good credentials, and then hits you with the debt. They are simply a fraudulent type of place. And this is a bad one, and I feel sad for you because no one knows going into it what it's going to be. Question is, will joining the military be able to help you get out of this and get you the technical training you should get, and is being in the military actually the right thing for you? Okay?
Yes.
So I'm going to pull three cards, but first I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Libra.
A Libra.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not notably a military sign.
No.
I'll tell you why. Military people tend to be very, by the book and by the rules. Libras tend to be negotiators. You have a very sweet, engaging voice. I don't know if you know that, but your voice has a pleasing quality. You sound more like someone who might work at a call center than someone who might work in the military. Okay, just saying. And being a Libra, you have that gentleness that the military may not be the right thing for you. So let's just see what we got here. Okay. First card I have is Temperance. And that is a card that says stay the course. You have a ways to go. You will end up with success. It's a crown in the sky way far in the distance, but you got to walk that path to get there. There's an angel who happens to be the angel Raphael, a healing angel, pouring water between two cups, and the way is blocked on the land, and you have to go through the water. So it's a card that says not exactly joining the military. It's more about praying on this and maybe choosing a path that is, may at first look like it's not going anywhere because you got to walk through the water, but then you rejoin the path. And I'm not sure what this is going to mean, but it does say to me that there is not a big yes on that first thing. Not a big yes. It's like join the military and win, win, win. That's not what's going to happen here. The next card is I'm getting a kind of like, let's rethink this for a moment here. The next card is the Queen of Cups, another card with a cup, and this is in the suit of cups. The Temperance was in the Trump suit, but it has two cups in it. This is, may I ask, what is your field? Because now we're getting very gentle cards here. Go ahead, tell me.
The field that I got my degree in was in fashion marketing, but I'm now looking at the electrical trade, like being an electrician, and the construction trade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not feeling it from these cards. I'm really getting something that's more about being of service to others, being a helper, being a diagnostician, maybe electrically. This is a woman, the Queen of Cups is a woman who looks inside and is introspective. But it's, again, a gentle card. It's not a military card by any means.
You know, I do have a quick question. I had always dreamed of going to school to be a psychologist because I genuinely
this is more like that. Yeah,
oh,
this is more like that. This is much more like being a psychologist in healthcare. It definitely, this is a card of looking into people, looking into their hearts, being a helper. It's a much more helpful card. And the third card is also not a card I associate with the military. It is the Three of Pentacles. And the Three of Pentacles is three people building a church. And and so this is about service to others. There's a monk, an architect, and a stonemason. And they're building a beautiful church arch. And everything is really for that
for the uplift and faithful help of others. So now, I will say that as a reader, and I have to give you a little disclaimer here, I am so anti-military, but I could have swallowed that. If I got, I'm going to be honest, had I gotten a knight, you know, on his sword with, you know, whatever, I would have said so, and I would have pretended I didn't hate the military. But just to be, you know, to be honest, I do hate them. But I would have read the cards, but these cards do not say join the military. That's my, and I don't know that I influence the cards, because my heart sinks when I think of a young woman who's a Libra going to the military. But the cards say don't do it. Okay. All right. So that's the best I can say there. And I don't mean that, and I'm trying to say this, I don't mean this from a, this has a lot to do with the reader you go to. But what I'm seeing here is, for you, be patient, walk on, you will have the victory, you will get out of debt, it'll be a while. You're going to spend at least 3 years with money troubles. This is the card of the Three of Pentacles that has no coins in it. So there's going to be at least 3 years of money troubles. I'm even thinking, hey, maybe bankruptcy, the water in that Temperance card, maybe that's where it's at, is declare bankruptcy and start over. But you're going to have 3 years of issues before you get it even on the right path. And I'm not seeing the military. All right. So I'm going to turn this over to Susan and see what she has to say.
Well, this is what's so interesting about when you have different readers. I am pro-military. And when I did doing your cards, I was hoping I would get a military card, because I think it's a, you know, you get education, they train people, they do really well with people who are unsure about what they want to do. That being said, you got no cards for military service in my spread. I also doused on it because I thought, geez, you know, I'd really like to see her do that. The dowsing said 100% no, do not go into the military. Not only would you get hurt physically, you would get hurt emotionally, you would be kicked out of the military because it's just not you. And the other thing, I got the fashion, the beauty card, which is makes sense. It's a Libra card. I also got Ace of Cups, which is a really fabulous card for counseling. It's fabulous for people who are of service to other people. The only thing about this card, it tends to go with people that are a little bit of dreamers. They dream rather than take action. Now, I would like to see you take more action to write a plan. This is what I want to do. Now, as far as the debt, put that in the back of your mind, because my feeling is that I also doused that company. And like Ms. Kat said, it's a fraudulent company. I feel it's got a lot of negative entities there, and it's going to go out of business. It's going to be sued or whatever. But I think that I don't see you paying the full debt. I think that they're going to be taken down, but it still will haunt you. My thing is to tell you, don't let it haunt you, because you have the High Priestess. You're intuitive. You're a sweet person. You're a sweet soul. You're best at helping other people. Ace of Cups is a fantastic card. I wish I got that more often. And interestingly enough, are you married, or what's your status?
I am married, but we're like contemplating divorce, so that's kind of bad.
Okay. Well, this is where I have a little trouble sometimes giving readings, because there is somebody on the horizon who is in construction. He is an electrician. He's a manly man. He's very kind. And I feel like he already knows you, or he has seen you from a distance. And you're either going to repair your marriage, or you're going to get remarried to this guy. And I kind of feel that this man is coming in very strongly. So I'm saying no to the military. I'm saying look into counseling, helping other people, even helping doing something philanthropic or something. But just get yourself out there. Libras need to be pushed a little teeny tiny bit. And I think you're a beautiful, beautiful human being. But I'm going to give you that little push. I'm dowsing you, giving you some energy to get yourself out there and, you know, do your thing, honey. You're going to do great.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Contraband Ali, let's see what you have to say here in terms of spell work. I think before we get into that, I just want to say one other thing, too. I loved what you said, Susan. You're so tactful. Libras need a little tiny, teeny push. I love that. Libras are known for fluttering on the ledge, you know, of the nest with their little wings and going, can I fly? And you just kind of go, boop.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Libras love beauty. And what I saw also was philanthropic. The Three of Pentacles is also a card of philanthropy or working in a service-oriented organization. But there's something else, too. Libras are known as lovely Libras. And taking lives apart, killing, destroying, mm-hmm. bombing, breaking, yeah. even mm-hmm. in defense, is not a notably copacetic with the Libra idea of enhancing cooperation and community
yeah.
and beauty. Libras would do better working for the UN mm-hmm. or someplace like that. But I think that several of us in the chat room have also said it may be bankruptcy, maybe your choice here. So let's turn this over to Ali.
I could not agree more. When I was following along with my own reading, I'm not going to give you another reading, I'm going to give you work, but I'm just going to add that the one thing I really got clear here, that if you entered into the military, it wouldn't solve your problem, it would delay the problems. So you'd be able to put off things for a period of time, but sooner or later you're going to have to face all of this again, and probably compounded with the fact that being in the military takes you out of civilian society for a while, and it's quite hard once you come back to find a job. So it's actually not in your benefit to do so, even if superficially we're often told, you know, during the military they'll pay your debt, they'll go on your education, and whatnot. And also practically speaking, given the ages you're in, as well as the current climate that we are, there's funding cuts in the military right now. It is not exactly the ideal kind of post-World War II type of military we're talking about here. So just from a purely practical point of view, it definitely confirms what Ms. Kat and Susan are seeing. So there's a couple things that I want you to do here. First and foremost, you need to find out what it is you want. You have a degree in fashion marketing. You're interested in electrical work, but you're also interested in psychology. Right? Now, all of these indicate further education, which you simply can't afford at this point in time, though I am a big proponent of education, being in the field myself. What's needed is some practical planning. What's the next step? You might consider getting yourself an astrological reading, a natal chart reading, who can look at your 10th house as well as what is in your midheaven and help to kind of direct you towards some fields that would be in your benefit. Ms. Kat has mentioned a few of them just based off of your sun sign, and those are absolutely true. And you can hone in even further with a little bit more in-depth astrological work, just something to consider here. First and foremost, I want you to create a mojo bag that you're going to carry with yourself. You can do this in the form of a jar. I prefer a mojo bag that you'll carry with you. What you're going to do is you're going to write down qualities you're looking for in a job. So rather than an actual job title or a company or an organization or even a field, because you're unsure, instead write down the qualities. So you're going to write down, I want a job that gives me a steady income, that covers all my debt, all my expenses, my leisure, as well as money left over for savings, right? So very clear that it's not just enough to paycheck by paycheck, but more than that. A job that is within 10-mile radius of my house. A job that allows me opportunities for advancement, that's a positive work environment, that allows me to utilize my skills, etc. So you want to make this focusing on the characteristics of the job that you're going to do. You're going to place this into a mojo bag with a five-finger grasp for success with everything that you do with your hands. You're going to put some cinnamon in there to draw money, bay leaf to bring you success. I want you to put some alfalfa, a lodestone, a little small lodestone grid is very important, not a large lodestone because you're going to be carrying it. Pyrite, and I also want you to put deer's tongue to bring you success with an eloquence in everything that you say. And you are going to feed this whiskey, and you're going to carry this with you, feed it whiskey once a week, carry it with you every single day, and everywhere you go, whenever you think about what am I going to do for my job, I want you to reach into your pocket or into your purse or wherever you have that mojo bag, and you're going to cup it and you're going to pray to yourself, mojo bag, or give it a name, whatever you want, help me find the job that I'm looking for, bring it to me wherever it is, whether through a friend or an ally, an advertisement, wherever it is, bring this to me. And this is so that you carry this power, this move, this energy with you, this spiritual force everywhere that you go. The next thing I want you to do is some working to protect yourself from the debt collectors, because student debt or debt is not a joke. They're not going to kid around with that, and they will garnish wages. So I have a working that I often teach my clients, which is a good way of kind of staving off the debt collector. It doesn't get rid of them, but it does temper them and keep them from being able to garnish wages or be able to move forward. It gives you wiggle room, so to speak. What you're going to do is you're going to take the name of the debt collector. If it is a bank, you put it there. If it's the name of an organization like Sallie Mae or whatever, you place that and on a white cloth. And this can be a square cloth, a handkerchief, if you will. You're going to place their name on them, okay? You're going to put a small bit of salt. On top of that salt, you're going to put an Indian cent or an Indian head penny. You can get this directly from Lucky Mojo. They have them available there. You're going to put some alfalfa and alkanet. This is to protect your money as well as to protect you from poverty. And then you're going to put a little bit of knotweed to tie down those debt collectors. You're going to take the cloth and you're going to fold it or roll it up away from you. And as you do so, you're going to pray that the debt collectors cannot come to you, that they cannot come after your money. Once it's rolled all the way, you're going to take the two ends and you're going to knot this three times. And every knot that you make, you're going to say your prayer. Take this little bundle and you're going to nail it by your front door. And what this does is it keeps the debt collectors from coming after you and coming after your money. These are the two works that I would recommend. I highly also suggest looking into that astrological reading or really sitting down and considering what career you really want, because that's going to be important for your next step. That's what I have here. Let's see if my colleagues have anything further to add.
I have one question.
Sure.
When you do, this is for Ali, I'm sorry. When you do the knot, do you mean a knot at each end or knot the two ends together forming
a circle?
No,
you're going to take the two ends together and knot, so it becomes a little bundle.
So it makes a circle or a bundle.
So it makes a circle, exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Cool.
Okay.
I like that much better, to try that first before you go do the bankruptcy, because what he gave you is excellent. And it was down to a T. And I would do exactly what he said before you do a bankruptcy.
Okay.
Okay, sweetheart.
Okay. Okay. And I'm gonna just add another little thing about this. The use of the Indian head penny is often used to keep away the law. And debt collectors come under that idea as well. And you would want to, if you can kind of keep it in your mind which way the penny's facing, you would kind of want the head of that penny to be facing outward, if you could. Don't fret yourself if you don't get it all turned around and don't know which way the head is. But usually we would put it with the head of the Indian facing outward. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah. Good luck to you. Good luck.
Thank
all right.
You.
Well, we're going to have another reading in just a moment, but first we're going to go to a break.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go back to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 832 from Texas. This is Shal, are you there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you, everybody.
Welcome. And I do see that this is your first time calling into the show. Welcome. And I have noticed that you went to other readers and root workers on the situation. Were there anybody from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers?
No.
Okay, not a problem at all. and she write, recently divorced twice, I am heartbroken, angry, and feeling abandoned. Will my second husband come back? Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. So, Shell, that's pretty harsh. Divorced twice in a recent period of time. That can be really heartbreaking. I understand you. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions on behalf of our readers. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Virgo.
Virgo, okay. And how about the person that you're asking about, the second husband? What sign is the second husband?
Pardon, please?
I'm sorry, say again?
I didn't get to your question, the second question.
What sign of the zodiac is your second husband?
He's a Virgo too.
Ah, another Virgo. Okay. Mm. All right. So that gives us a little bit more of a picture. And how long were you married?
With my second husband, it's almost 5 years.
Okay. All right. So recently divorced twice is not like one back-to-back with the other. This is your second divorce, but you were only married for 5 years. I understand. Mm-hmm. And one more question, then I'm going to turn over to Susan. About how old are you?
I'm 42.
All right. I get that. Yeah, you sounded like you were a mature lady. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to turn this over, and we're going to have Ali do our first reading, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Kat, for this question. I have pulled three cards here to see, to answer your ultimate question, which is, will your second husband come back? The first card that I have here is the Four of Cups. Here we have an individual whose arms are crossed in refusal of a golden goblet that is being given to him. This is a golden goblet that is coming out of a cloud, a hand reaching out of a cloud. There's three more cups before him. Now, the image of a hand coming out of a cloud with a cup in it invokes the Ace of Pentacles, which is a card of unconditional love, success, bounty, abundance, and blessings. But this is a man who is refusing that. This is a man who does not see the bounty, the beauty, and the abundance of love, but instead sees three other cups in front of him and says, why should I accept what you're offering me when I have these other options? This is not a good indication. It does tell me kind of where his mindset is when it came to this divorce or this separation between the two of you. It tells me that your mind should be aware that there is interfering parties, not in the sense that people are trying to break you up, but in the sense that his attention is wandering, and he is definitely wondering about the grass, whether the grass is greener on the other side. So he is thinking about what else is out there right now and saying, you know what, I'm not willing to accept the relationship as is. There may be something better for me. That's how he's thinking, not whether that's right or wrong, I should say. The next card that I have is the Seven of Pentacles. The Seven of Pentacles shows a young man leaning on a rake as he is contemplating the golden coins that have grown out of the ground in a beautiful harvest. And there's one right between his feet. There's going to be a delay between you. You're not going to resolve the situation quickly or swiftly. There will be time that needs to be passed. You both will need to take time off. He needs to sort his thoughts out. You need to sort your thoughts out. And then there will be a time to consider reconciliation, but it will not be the reconciliation you think of. It's not one of emotional healing and getting back together as a couple, but sorting out where your lives are headed, thinking about things like finance, thinking about things like what are your obligations. Do you have any children together, if you don't mind me asking?
Not with the second husband, but I had the daughter with the first husband.
Okay. The reason I ask this is because this card does not indicate reconciliation. It does indicate some type of formal connection still being there that you might consider. And this is confirmed in the final card that we have, which is the Emperor. The Emperor is a stern, cold man ruling from on high on his throne. This is not reconciliation. I do see that the two of you will come back to speaking terms, the better terms, I should say, than speaking terms. You will be on better terms, but there will be some of exchange between the two of you. This may likely have something to do with business or finances or some form of legal form or paperwork that may still be required or that will come up after a period of silence between the two of you or a period of kind of taking meeting space. Once that formality is dealt with, you will be on civil and cordial terms, but I do not see a reconciliation. I see a man who is committed to following his path, even if it leads to him being in a much harsher place in his life, a little bit more stern, less pleasant. He's very much committed to it. This is not a happy reunion or a happy marriage. This is a man moving on, but who's willing to be cordial with you. So that's what I see in this case. I'm sorry to say it's not the happy ending that you may perhaps wish for, but it does indicate that both of you will come to some level of healing.
All right. Well, let's see what Susan has to say here.
I have to be in agreement with Conjurman Ali. The first card I pulled was a Nine of Swords. You know, this card indicates a lot of sadness and, you know, it's a card of seeing no hope almost, even though from your spirit, I feel like there is a lot of hope. Perhaps your grandmother was a psychic or somebody, but the Nine of Swords is in relationships. Normally, it's the other partner is, you know, maybe looking the grass is greener on the other side type of situation. And if it was me, but I'm a very dogmatic person, I would just say enough is enough. I'm out. But that's my personal thing with life. You know, that's just who I am. I will say this. Two Virgos is really not the best match between a male and a female. You know, between two males, it's great. Two females, it's great. But for some reason, the male and the female, it's a very difficult time because it's a female sign, it's a feminine sign, and the Virgo men tend to over exaggerate the masculinity. I don't know if that makes any sense, you know, but you could get your astrology done by Deacon Millett or somebody who's excellent in astrology. The other card I get is Eight of Rods, so I'm getting that this person likes to come and go. He likes his freedom. That's also very Virgo. Virgo men love to go places. They like to have new horizons, and they like to look around. They don't want to feel tied down. And most people do not know this about Virgos, but Virgos really don't like to be tied down. The good news is your last card was the Ace of Rods, and I want to thank your spirit guides, and I thank my spirit guides for that, because that's an awesome card. You're going to receive good news. You're going to receive a good letter. I feel like love is coming back into your life. You have a thing about you that attracts people to you, and I feel that you're a very sensual person, and you have a quiet sensuality about you, which is very Virgoan. Virgos are very sensual people. They can't help themselves. Look at Johannes is an air member. He's a Virgo. He's very sensual. So I would start to think positive, because you go into a depression, and it's kind of stymieing me almost to try to break through this sadness and this depression that you're going into. But I would love to see you go to get some water on you and take baths and get rid of this like depressive spirit. There's like it's not a curse, but it's a spirit that has come over you. It's a spirit of depression. When you begin to change the depression and go back into your normal self, the Virgo self, the sweet Virgo that you are, and the sensuality that you are, you're going to start attracting other things into your life, including the emails and the letters and good fortune. And like Ali said, I feel like there's going to be money coming in too. So that's my reading. It's sad for right now, but it is going to be better because you got the Ace of Rods, which is an amazing card. It's a great card. It's a karmic card, so I give this to Miss Kat.
Okay. Well, very interesting readings on both of their parts. And I have to say that with Susan, the Ace of Wands is a great card. It shows renewal. And in my deck, it shows a staff bursting into leaf, and it can be stuck in the ground and rooted anywhere. So you do have the potential for renewal, and that is certainly something. But that Nine of Swords, that is a hard card. That is one of the hardest cards in these readings, because and that's the person who wakes up weeping and crying, and it's a place of sadness and a place of depression, and we want to get you to move past that. And you know, heartbroken, angry, and feeling abandoned, it's really you need a support from friends, and not just family, but people, you know, just friends who will be around you. But let's see if we can do some root work to help you attract that which you need, which is a nicer, happier run of years that's going to be a better run this next time, and more love again. And I'm going to speak just slightly here as a woman who has been married 4 times and never wanted any of those divorces, and all of them were more or less shoved on me for a reason. So keep in mind, and I'm a Taurus. Earth signs are people who like things to, you know, be very orderly. Virgos can stand more change. They're a mutable earth sign. But you can do it. You can get back into the situation that pleases you with a new partner. And I know you can do it. So what I'd recommend, first of all, is a cut and clear spell. Now, people have heard me and others on this show talk about it many times. So I would go to luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html, and Papa Newt will very shortly put the URL in. Why, there he did. And so did Nagashiva. It's you can just go to Google and type in Lucky Mojo Cut and Clear, and you'll see it. But the first part of that spell I'd like you to do also, which is the Black Walnut spell. And that is to remove any residual feelings you have for this person, this ex. And in the long span of your life, eventually that person will come to mean very little. And you'll look back on it and go, God, I'm glad that one's over, and on to the next. And so bathe yourself with the black walnuts. What you do is you boil up 9 black walnuts, or just 9 and garden variety walnuts, in water, and you're going to pour that over yourself. And you can make a ritual of it, or you can do it as simply as you want. Some people like to do it in the form of a little ritual, and that's given on that web page. And you can also just improvise. And you're going to pour the water from the 9 walnuts over yourself, because walnuts they secrete a hormone in the root of the walnut tree that kills other plants around them to make the world safe for walnuts only. And that is taken advantage of in a magical way to kill any negative or sad feelings you have. Then you're going to do the cut and clear, which consists of 2 parts, one of which is to remove all of the feelings you had about the old person and to bring in someone new who has all the qualities that you want. And again, rather than reiterate the spell in great length, basically you're going to make 2 lists on 1 sheet of paper. One will be all the things you didn't like about that person and all the things you didn't like about husband number 1. And the other list will be what you want in a future husband. You're going to cut those 2 lists apart, and you're going to fold 1 list away from you, the bad list, we call it, and burn it. And the good list, you're going to fold towards you, and you're going to warm it over a white candle flame and say, now, bring me my next husband, the one who does all the good things and has all the good qualities. And you're going to put that paper away in your underwear drawer or under your bed or between your box spring and mattress, someplace safe, so that the next husband who comes in will be bearing with him all of the gifts and charms and loving ways that you asked for on that piece of paper. It's basically like saying
to the universe, no, that didn't work out. Could you send me a better one? And then you will get a better one. So I would recommend that. Also, I know that Ollie has a beautiful bath that he has recommended to people. Once you've done the walnuts and the cut and clear, and rather than just try to pretend to be Contraband Ollie, I know he knows what I'm talking about. Could you give her, I know you know it, the list of ingredients, because he has recommended this bath many times, and it is so beautiful, and he does it well. So go ahead, take it away, Ollie.
Thank you, Kat. I do appreciate it. This is one of my favorite baths. It's a kind of a combination of an old recipe, and it's very Mediterranean, Middle Eastern. What you want to do is make a tea first out of rue and violet leaves, and you're going to put this into the bath with milk and honey, and then you're going to cover it with rose petals. And this is great for kind of cleaning, clearing out, healing, and crossing love, bringing in good love, and it's also fantastic for the skin as well. It is, however, a soaking bath, so it's not something that you're going to pour over yourself. You're going to put this into the bathtub, and you're going to lay in it, soaking into that milk and honey mixture with a little bit of that tea. It's really, really good for you, and letting all the hurt out into that, and allowing it to really fill you with beauty, with allure, and with love.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the beautiful, beautiful sort of Euro-Mediterranean, what do we call that bath? That's Contraband Ollie's love-reclaiming bath, I guess. But he has taught that to a lot of people, and it works very, very...
It really is.
Yeah, and it does work. So, Susan, do you have anything to add for a lady in this situation in life?
Well, when I was... I kept feeling something about water, and it didn't come to me, but the bath that Contraband Ollie gave her, I think is perfect, because I do feel that she has a lot of sensuality in her, but it hasn't been able to explode, so to speak, or it hasn't gone out. I mean, I feel like her picker is off a little bit. And if you take the bath, I think that your picker or your line of vision for the right man is going to bring that man in. And there's no doubt in my mind that there is going to be another man coming in. And I do see two men, actually. Spirit's telling me that there's two, but there is one, and he's going to be a very good man. So I understand the depression. You know, I've been there, done that. And you will get better. Just throw off the spirit of depression. Trust me, the bath will help. It's helped me, and it will really, you know, raise your vibrations as well. And
yeah,
it will attract a man with higher vibrations that you deserve.
Yeah. I just got to throw out a thank you to Tribal Gypsy in the chat room, who said, I am a Virgo, also married 5 times, and went through terrible heartache with each one, even the ones where I initiated the divorce. It will get better, dear. Hearing that doesn't help, but the tips they are giving you will speed up your recovery. Thank you, Tribal Gypsy.
Tribal Gypsy?
Yeah, someone who knows. And this is what I talked about friends. Friends will support you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, honey. Well, we wish you
all
the best.
I want to thank everybody, Susan,
you're
Chad,
welcome.
And Shirley.
Thank
you a lot for giving me direction.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your
all
time.
Best,
all right,
my dear.
We're going to turn this over to Papa Newt now.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Contraband Ollie, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Now it's time for our freestyle section with Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Take it away, Miss Susan.
Hi, how are you doing?
He's being
muted. Was that for me?
Yeah, that was for you. That's for you to give your free spell.
Oh, my free spell. Okay. I thought we were doing another reading. Okay, the free spell is protection from an encounter with a vile person. If someone's been rude, vile, or just downright mean to you, this is what you do. Take a piece of paper, write their name on it 3 times, write your name on top of theirs, go to a crossroads, burn the paper, toss the ash into the air of the crossroads, and yell, "Break it off." Then say the 91st Psalm. Go home, take a protection bath, and in the water put 1/2 teaspoon of salt. I prefer kosher salt, but that's just me. 1 tablespoon of ammonia, 1/2 teaspoon of vinegar, 9 drops of cast-off evil oil, a pinch of crushed eucalyptus leaves. I learned this trick from Conjure Man Ali. Dilute with a lot of water, and when you're in the bathtub, you wash downward, and you say the 91st Psalm again, and then you say, "Break it off." I want you to air dry, take a cup of that bath water, throw it in the backyard or wherever, and say, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I am free. Amen." And that's
wow,
your free spell.
Okay, give us the ingredients from the bath again. We had salt. What was the next thing?
Ammonia.
Ammonia. And then eucalyptus.
A little bit of vinegar.
Vinegar. Okay.
9 drops of cast-off evil oil. That works wonders for me.
Okay.
And I'm thankful to Conjure Man Ali for the eucalyptus. I use that stuff for everything.
Wow. Okay.
It smells great, too.
And as Nagashiva said in the chat room, dilute.
Yes, put a lot of water in there.
Put a lot of water in that, and then say the 91st Psalm again.
Yes, because I want to be sure that this evil, vile person stays far away, and they will, because they'll build the energy, you know.
All right. Now, since we started off with the subject of reversing curses that were cursed ancestors, this could be used against a deceased person as well. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up, Miss Kat. This is also for ancestors that are bothering you, like, for example, the lady that just started drinking out of nowhere. It can be for an ancestor from way back who suddenly attached maybe to one of your children or to one of your animals. So you just give yourself that bath, and it transcends time. The energy of the items will transcend the time. You know, it could be an ancestor from 300 years ago or, you know, a generation ago or whatever. But also, you're absolutely right, an ancestor and a person who is living right now. Somebody, a coworker, someone who's stalking you, it'll get rid of them.
I love the use of the crossroads in this, because what it really does, and you know, this is what shows you the power of old-time work, right? It scatters it to the four winds. So whatever you think, whatever has power in your life, negative power, an ancestor or a person like you mentioned, doing this work in the crossroads and scattering it, it scatters their power. They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. I love that. That's good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is interesting, too, because we had talked earlier about different ways to work at the grave site of an ancestor who was a negative person. But there are many, many cases, folks, where you don't know where that ancestor is buried, or you don't even know who it is, but divination showed you it was an ancestor. And this way, by working at the crossroads, what Susan has brought up is a very traditional way of working when you wish to, as it would be said, scatter it to the four winds, scatter it to the four directions, and to say it's broken off and it goes into the world harmlessly, essentially, it will not come back to you. And again, just as we mentioned with the graveyard where you might want to take a different way home, you could do that from the crossroads. You could take a different way home if you wanted to. You could cross a river if you wanted to. In other words, you can mix and match these elements of the spell with the earlier graveyard spells we described. You could even, yes, pee in that crossroads if it was a safe place and time to do so. In other words, you're fixing it at a crossroads because you're not going to be fixing it at a grave. But it also can be done for the living, and that is an amazing thing to do because it works both ways. Basically, you're sending them away. It's similar to some spells that we also use to get rid of bad habits. It's similar to spells that we use to get rid of bad companions for our loved ones. So it need not only be for you. For instance, let's say that your son is hanging out with a bad crowd. You can also do the whole thing at a crossroads in the name of your son, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way to work this kind of spell, okay? Any other ideas on how to add to this, Ali?
I wouldn't add to it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. The only thing I want to add is that Nagashiva said, you're giving him over to the black man, right, or the devil in voodoo. And that's absolutely right. All those main sites of power in voodoo are deeply tied to the kind of cosmology of root work. The crossroads is the realm of the devil, right? The realm of the spirit of the crossroads, which is very African, it's very European, it's very American. The river is another area that is associated with the ancestors, specifically unknown spirits, right? The idea being that the evil ancestors often are sent down the river in Africa. A lot of driving out spirits is done via rivers. And even when the colonists arrived to Africa, the idea was that they came from water, being that they came from that land where evil ancestors come from. And the dead or the cemetery is the land of known dead. So these are all ways that, and if you recognize it, they all have very different spiritual quality. So the act of you're working with the crossroads here is quite literally sending that person to the devil.
Right. And I'm going to throw in one thing which I've said many times, but yes, where a road crosses a railroad is a crossroads, and where a bridge crosses a river is a crossroads, especially a crossroads into the world of spirit. So now you've been given some good work to do. All right. Well, thank you very much, Susan. That was a great spell.
Thank you. It was
really,
beautiful.
Really
thank
useful
you.
To people, yeah. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt and let him close us out.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week as our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Aura LaForce of AuraLaForce.com in Quebec, Canada, bringing us the topic of magical and medicinal herbs. In addition, we'll have a special co-host, Madam Nadia. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find this cat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in St. Edward, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. I have one more quick announcement to make, which is about an upcoming apprenticeship week. All you've got to do, if you have graduated from my course, is come on out. You can study with me for free for 5 full days, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 40 hours, teaching, learning, comradeship. It's free. You have to handle your own room and board. And I'd like you to, if you are a student and you want to get training. This is November 2nd through November 6th at the Lucky Mojo Shop. The subject will be bath salts, sachets, and jack balls. And you can contact the shop, and they'll tell you how to sign up. All right, folks. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.